Throttling Back to the Moon, presented by Science at NASA. July 16, 2007. Accelerating from 0 to 60, then slowing down again for a stoplight, is no problem for an ordinary automobile. But if you were piloting a rocket ship, it wouldn't be so easy. Most rocket engines are designed to burn full-on liftoff or full-off coasting through space, with no in-between. And that can be a problem. Namely, how do you land this thing? Throttling is crucial for a planetary lander. Descending from orbit is a unique balancing act, cutting engine power as the lander loses mass through the engine exhaust that slows it down, until landing pads just kiss the surface. For a lunar landing, velocity drops from almost 4,000 miles per hour to zero in about 1 hour. The Apollo Lunar Module, or LEM, descent engine, the all-time throttling champ, did it perfectly on 6 landings in 1969 through 1972. It could throttle from 10,125 pounds of thrust down to 1,250 pounds. It was also a simple engine, burning corrosive fuel and oxidizer that ignited on contact and fed by pressurized tanks, eliminating the need for pumps. NASA's heading back to the moon in the next decade, and we want to put more mass down on the lunar surface than Apollo did. That means we need a higher performing engine, says engineer Tony Kim of NASA's Marshall Space Flight Center. The Apollo Lunar Module descent engine was very good, very reliable, but it doesn't have the performance we need for future exploration. To investigate technologies for a next generation lunar lander, engineers at two NASA centers, the Marshall Space Flight Center in Alabama and the Glenn Research Center in Ohio, are supporting Pratt & Whitney Rocketdyne in developing the Common Extensible Cryogenic Engine, or CC for short. At CC's core is the RL-10 engine that boosted 7 Surveyor robot landers to the moon in 1966 through 68, then flew dozens of other missions for more than 2.2 million seconds of operations. That's almost 26 days. The RL-10 is a far more powerful and complex beast than the Apollo LEM engine. It burns hydrogen and oxygen that are stored as super-cold liquids in insulated tanks. These are not only high-energy propellants, but also environmentally friendly compared to the corrosive fuel of the original LEM. Now the engine is being asked to demonstrate something new. Throttle from 100% of its 13,800-pound thrust to 10% on command for a human-rated spacecraft. But making it throttle is not as simple as pushing the gas pedal in and out. Like most rocket engines, the RL-10 was designed for full power. Almost like a living organism, changes in one area are felt through the entire body. For example, at low power, liquid hydrogen can slow and vaporize in the coolant lines, possibly stalling the engine. In Phase 1 testing, we were able to get the engine modified and show that throttling is possible, though cautiously, Kim says. CC racked up 932 seconds of firing time in 8 tests, though some were cut short because we were experimenting, he says. The principal challenge was chugging. Something was causing the engine to vibrate 100 times per second. Pratt & Whitney Rocketdyne conducted a Demo 1.5 to investigate and isolate the problem. It turns out oxygen vapors were forming on the injector plate and inhibiting normal flow at lower throttle levels. We're considering modifications to the injector and valves to improve performance, Kim says. Already, CC has demonstrated stable combustion, no chugging, down to 5 to 1, and operability, some chugging, at 11 to 1 throttle ratios. CC's not ready for space, Kim emphasizes, but it is an important testbed to develop technology. This work, he says, has the potential to influence design of the next lunar lander. CC is one of a number of candidate technologies being investigated under NASA's Exploration Technology Development Program. This story was written by Dave Dooling and read by Tony Phillips. It's presented by Science at NASA. To find more Science at NASA stories on the Internet, please visit science.nasa.gov.